Molly was scheming. I was dreaming in the Beamer, just a demon. Can't believe that I called my men cheating. So I found another
that
way to
is make hit 'em up style. Boots by Blue Cantrell, so from her Bittersweet album. And it basically describes how I've been feeling basically all day today. And this song, as well as every other song that you'll hear throughout this podcast, is available on my one podcast playlist available on iTunes. And this is how we're going to start out this podcast. This is Tempo Broadcasting. Standing in my window on Mississippi Avenue, rolling my eyes at my neighbor, but more thankful than I ever have been in a while. Just to be alive and to be able to experience life, hopefully trauma-free. I'll be rolling my eyes, and I'm going to be celebrating Black and Brown excellence. Just focusing on good things we do in Tennessee and some of the bad things that it just keeps going on. People are in the GOP are trying to camouflage their bad actions. It's like the switch has been turned on. People doubling down on stupid. And I think they actually are sipping on the Tennessee whiskey before they actually get interviewed on Fox, New York Times, making us look like a bunch of mouth-breathing buffoons. And I just can't do that all by myself. I'll also be just talking about some great events that are going to be taking place in the upcoming week, and what I'm looking forward to. And I'll end it with a reading from my new and first sci-fi effort, Listen. And as always, going is my ability to curiosity, and because I like to fuck, and also discovering music, new music, and music I haven't heard in a while. So thank you for joining me, and keep listening. Announcement today of Miss Juliana Urtebe from Las Vegas was named the National Teacher of the Year, and she was absolutely surprised today on the CBS Morning News when it was announced. She was basically overcome by surprise, because the First Lady, Dr. Jill Biden, surprised her with flowers and just basically made her day. And she basically congratulated her. She took out time from her busy day. And I can't even ever recall Trump's wife, because I always considered her a trash human being. Not even his old fake daughter. Neither one of their faces move. Honoring people that put their lives on the line and dared to teach their kids. And if anyone, because it looks like that child, one of the youngest Chump's children, is actually on the spectrum, and he would absolutely need a teacher as special as this teacher, Miss Urtebe, And what I found just absolutely amazing was the fact that how she affected, she didn't realize, she hadn't seen some of the children in years, and how the children and the parents because of the children and them, they basically just overwhelmed her, because she was it was not like she was unaware, but she was always hopeful that she was always hopeful that she affected them, and how much they did honor her, and how much even ongoing how at this particular time, and how with the horror that was our last year, and how it was ongoing, that she was able to teach. The kids are doing so well. They continue to remember her and their thoughts, and how they were, how she basically sets the bar of all teachers. It is obvious that she is a special education teacher, and she is the representation of the consummate professional. And it was just so amazing watching her interact with First Lady Biden, and how they had her interacting with the children, and how she taught in the garden, and just how relaxing it was, and basically giving the kids the courage and, you know, uplifting their, making them feel really good about themselves, and teaching them something all at the same time. She actually is one of the most perfect teachers for that. So big ups to Juliana Erdeby, 2021's Teacher of the Year. And in this part, I'm also talk about the Steelers draft pick, Najee Harris. What struck me about this is he basically returned to the Greater Richmond Interfaith Group's homeless shelter, where his family absolutely spent multiple years of his life. It seems like he had a very traumatic upbringing, where not only did they have a stint of homelessness as a family, he bounced around from situation to situation, that nomadic life, because of abject poverty and just a lot of bad luck. This kid went on to become a star athlete. He went to University of Alabama, you know, it's all SEC, but he did go to Alabama, you know. I ain't gonna roll tide, because I just cannot do that. But he basically excelled there, and he went number 24 overall and chosen by Pittsburgh Steelers. I think he's going to be a great asset to that team. I may just peek in on and see how he does the beginning towards the upcoming season. They talked about how his mother was with them, and how she got choked up because he was there, of course, celebrating with the other residents, but she got choked up because she remembered the times and the years. Evidently, they spent several years as in that homeless shelter, at the lowest point of her and his life, and how it was somewhat of a safe haven, but it still wasn't a home, because they were absolutely homeless. And now he is getting ready to stroke that pen over a multi-million-dollar contract. So how far he's come. And I think he will never forget because he obviously he doesn't want to return there, but he also wanted to spread the joy that you too can start out here, and then when you get to the end, how amazing that can be. And sharing the celebration of being drafted into the NFL and wanting to share it with those people, I think it's an inspiration. It's probably one of the coolest things that I've actually absolutely seen all week. Big ups to Najee Harris, number 24 overall draft pick by the Steelers. And you two are a shining star, sir. So I like to follow up ratchetness with hopefully righteousness, but in this case, I'm going to start out with righteousness and then end up with ratchet, because it seems like people have been doing some really stupid crap, but these people are not. This is a couple, a mother and son duo in Memphis, Tennessee, just doing it. This is Gwen and Davin Clemens. Gwen is a former counselor with a she's the creative behind it all, but she also has experience in the criminal justice system, not as a criminal, but as the counselor. And her son is also was a former Memphis policeman, and I think both of them are a part of the LGBTQ community. They actually founded and run the nonprofit advocacy group Relationships Unleash. Back in 2014, there was a black box, very representative, like all over the world, but in Memphis, it was very much pronounced, because 80% of the population in Memphis with HIV actually are black. They called Tennessee the Slate of Hate. The state with called the Slate of Hate, because repeatedly the legislature is trying to roll back all of the gains and protection in the LGBTQ community, basically trying to erase them from existence virtually with these anti-trans and just a lot of other ridiculous legislation. But this group advocates for that particular community. And I think I just like it, just simply because no matter what your views of an alternative lifestyle, me being an advocate or me being, what do they call it? I'm a rah-rah-rah, I'm a pom-pom girl. I'm just adjacent, supportive, because I don't want to see anybody profiled or discriminated against. I like this group. This is like a no-brainer of how to support them. They need finances. They need your support and recognition, because there's just such a dearth of support within the African-American community, and especially in HIV-infected
Miss Clemens, her sister, passed away in the early epidemic of AIDS back in 1991. She wished that the medical support treatments had been available to her, as well as family support, because there was a lot of misinformation and no information on the proper way to support these people. And since then, she's lost a lot of friends to AIDS-related illnesses since the 90s, but treatments have gotten better and people can go on to have healthy relationships and actually live healthy lives. We can actually see that in people like Magic Johnson, just to name a few. So big ups and navigate. I'm sure I'm going to have a link to their site within the podcast notes, because this is a group that not only needs attention, you can hashtag them, but also that are going to need the funds to be able to continue to do the good work that they're actually doing in Memphis. And this, I like this, the synergy of it all and the creativity of it all. Maybe they actually have a podcast. I'll take a look at that too. Some of their message is actually very clear in prevention. People are still dying from AIDS-related illnesses, y'all. And it affects our, and it affects the African-American community, of course, disproportionately, just like any other scourge. I can't imagine the devastation COVID and AIDS has had upon the HIV community. So there you go.
Yo, look back on the bully when cats used to harmonize like, yo. My men and my women, don't forget about the dean. This is not the most the king, yo. It's about a thing, yeah.
Feel real good when your hands in the air. And lick two shots in the atmosphere.
So that's Doo-Wop, That Thing, from Lauryn Hill's album, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. This next section, I remind myself about how I like to fuss. And there's certain things, and I was just in such a bad mood today of all days, very simply because I made the mistake of looking at my bank account and fussing with Amex about a $40 bill. I just can't imagine where everything just irritated me to the greatest extent. But this next several section where I talk about just simply doubling down on stupid Facebook advisory board finally saying, oh, it's okay for the ban of Trump on a privately held company's platform. But y'all gotta revisit this in 6 months, because he can still get privileges back. I don't know why, because if he does and anybody like him gets their privileges back, because they obviously broke the rules of engagement. They actually have rules that you say you can't do and say a whole bunch of crap on their platform. And they have a right to say that. You can't incite a fucking riot. You can't continue to lie about an election. But these fools are using all of his dirty tactics to take people's votes, a right to vote away, to brutalize and bully this woman for saying stop it, because they don't want to lose the support of his crazy supporters. And you just can't have it both ways. You can't say freedom. You can't take away my freedom as a white cisgendered man, but everybody else we can fuck with. We can't have it both ways. And so that's how I'm going to start, with the Miseducation album, because one, I like the beat, and also I just want to stream any residuals that she can get, she needs to get.
So I sit here on what ended up being a very beautiful Monday evening. The sun has finally come out. The clouds have been chased away over the ocean. And I was still thinking about what Dr. Degrassi, the world famous astrophysicist, said about the how do you protect yourself from misinformation is curiosity. And he's one of another person that I'm going to have to put on my excellence list, because he has made being a nerd in physics fun. And I think it's just really amazing. However, with that said, and I'm trying to multitask. Because I bought a new Fast and Furious Crossroads game. Because I want to play it. And I'm trying to figure out, how to play it. What? Maybe that's it. No. How to play it while it's supposed to do this update, but it's not letting me, and it's kind of annoying. How do you start it? Is it X? Nope. Options. Start game. Seeing new. I really suck at this stuff. And it just goes to show that how I am. Maybe it's one of these. I just start pushing buttons, girl. That's the crazy thing. No. Back. So I'm sitting here just hitting buttons because I don't know how to start this mug, but I'm going to figure it out. I think what I've learned and ability to connect with people and interview them and get the information that I need, it comes from the many years of being, I think, a successful pediatrician. I think a lot of people have misinterpreted my openness and my ability to carry on a sane conversation with the fact and that I'm well traveled and I've gone to all these different places as some means that they want to just latch on to that and be in the glow and want me to be this support, their support animal. But it's kind of hilarious to me because I'm really not that bitch. I am. The reason why I became a pediatric hospitalist and I can work the night shift and I got asked back is, and I can successfully do what I do now in the comfort of my home is because I honestly think my career, everything that I've done previously has prepared for me this. Meaning that I love working from home. I love I only talk to people when I actually absolutely have to talk to them. I don't have any goofy meetings. I don't have to travel long distance to be in a meeting for a meeting so somebody else can tick off some fucking box. Before I can actually, I get to do anything. I don't understand, corporate, corporate jobs that won't allow their members to work from home, that you have to go in and travel around and have FaceTime and blah, blah, blah. I don't get that anymore. And I'm so glad I don't have to do that anymore. Y'all just don't get it. But what it has taught me, however, is that what it has absolutely taught me is everything that I've seen or done has prepared me to this point. So if I got to work from home, if I have to self-quarantine, I'm okay with that because my house is not a prison. Anywhere I stay, I want to stay there. I want to do the things. I can do things that I actually like doing, like reading a great book. I have membership in every single streaming services. The BBC just released the 40th, holy crap, the 40th season of Antiques Roadshow. And it's actually really cool. I have to back it up because I fall asleep thinking I must watch it and just until I go to sleep, but it keeps playing, so I'm like skipped ahead on all of these episodes and I haven't gotten the details of all the cool stuff because from the original orders of the world. And I like that stuff. Nerdy collections of things that I would have never thought to collect or possibly look at to see if we have the American version of it here. I think a lot of people, or just looking up the history of places and all of these great things. And that's how I keep my curiosity growing. And I wish other people could do that. But when people figure out that I actually have all of these interests, they actually think that I want company. Nah, girl, I don't want company. I'm absolutely happy trying to figure out how to launch Fast and Furious and how much more of this download I have to take before I can actually figure out how to play it. Because I don't know. Or how much of do I need to take another download and do I need to buy another 256 gigabyte micro SD card to save the backup data on for my Nintendo Switch. So I say all of those things to say is don't get it twisted because you think I have the gift of gab, or I've well traveled, or I like to play videos, or I basically this weekend I went shopping for salt. But does it really mean that I'm all about company and hanging out with people and all of it? No, I'm not. I'm absolutely about a drama-free life without a whole bunch of psychological BS. You know, what I was absolutely installment process. Great. What I was absolutely cool about was and focused on this weekend was figuring out how to sear these scallops so they won't shrink. How I cannot Oh, and I'm figuring out how to play this. I would love to just continue. Oops. Nope, that's not. Nope.
Yeah, and if he slips away now, we won't be able to track him.
I am really just wrecking this car, but I say all of that to say, oops, how do I get back? Nope, I reverse. How do I reverse? How do I reverse? How do I reverse? How do I reverse? Okay, that's reverse. Oops. Okay, so I don't understand it, but I would prefer to be brake accelerate a stand.
I mean the part about the single strike that crippled America for the next 30 years. It sounds like a dirty nuke or a dozen of them.
You better believe I'm not having baby Brian grow up in a war like that.
I wonder if Tej knew what he was getting into when he agreed to babysit.
Knowing Tej, right now he's wishing.
Oh, I can do this. I would prefer to be sitting here any day by myself, drama-free, not having to stress out about, drama. I don't have all of these, all of these consoles just because I want to, I need to be around people. I would love to be around people. I would love to be around people that don't get on my nerves. And I'm sorry that y'all, other people, don't have that opportunity. How do I turn around? Is there a way to turn around? I don't know how to turn around, so. So I'm sitting here trying to double task and eat and do all that stuff. And I don't know if I'm going to be any good at this game, but I also know that the movie itself is probably going to be the bomb. I'm thinking I'm going to have to take on more of the download in order to be able to play this game a little bit more effectively, or there has to be some type of information like practice, because I don't know what all the controls do, or unless I got to get a new control, but that's neither here nor there. They had a sale at Best Buy, just so you know. But I say all those things and say all those pauses to say is there is a misconception about people confusing my openness to think that I am the one to want to be around and hang around a whole bunch of people, because I really don't. I only have a select group of people that I would prefer to be around, and I'm sad that they're not here in Tennessee that I can absolutely be able to visit. But it's not imperative for me to be around people. I like not being needed. I like the fact that my life is drama free. I like the fact that I can get up, do my 8-9 hours of work, knock it out the park, and then log off, and then keep it moving and do other things. Try to figure out how to play Fast and Furious Crossroads. That is my whole goal in life. I'm so sorry if you don't have the opportunity to do something different, and you have to, and you're dependent on other people to have to constantly support you and to be the one to break you out your funk. But nobody, that's above everybody's pay grade. Why can't people somehow support and be the strength for themselves? Figure out what interests them in a positive way and just keep doing it. Try new things. And if you can't, I feel bad for you, but it's not my goal always to be on and to support, be that emotional sort. I am not your emotional sort, your support animal. I don't wear the vest because the bitch don't fit my big ass, and I just don't want to. You're going to have to figure, I am not your ace boon coon support person. That's just not me. I'm not the one. I can help you figure out your pathology, help you if you want to get the support that you need, but I am not the one. And are you not? You got to be clear on that. I'm already tired, and y'all need to just leave me alone, because I can be outgoing when I want to be, but for the most part, I don't really want to be. I just want to sit in my window, fuss at my non-mask wearing neighbors, and play video games. That's all I want to do, and watch RuPaul Drag Race. That's about the focus on my life. I'm at the point now where my life allows me to do exactly what I want to do drama-free, and that's what I'm going to do. And you're not going to make me feel sad that I don't want to be pulled into your pathology, because it doesn't work that way. Stop it. And if you think that I should, or it should work that way, you got another thing coming, because I am not the one, for real though. So, and there you go. And I'm sorry for all the pauses in my game, or in this, because I'm trying to play the game. But that's the biggest thing. I really figured out that people think that I'm this outgoing person that wants to have all these parties in the center of attention, because I don't really, no, that's not me. I'm not going to do any of that, because again, you're not going to talk me to death. I'm not cleaning up behind your ass, because I don't like cleaning up on behind my own self. And there's just so many things I want to do and explore, and none of it has to do with drama. That's not who I am and not what I want to do. So there you go.
to spend my nights out in the ballroom. Liquor was the only love I'd known.
That is great. The great Chris Stapleton from his Traveler album, Tennessee Whiskey. And I start this section of the podcast doubling down on stupid because it just seems like everybody in the state Senate and the state house, Knoxville, and then the speaker, the leader of the GOP caucus, has lost their damn mind. How are you going to stay the most racist legislature? Is he gets the point about how population was counted, but he didn't read the room. Only we were not considered humans. You can't have 3/5 of a man. Can't count 3/5 of a man. How racist is that? And then you got these other fools saying that because the brother Osborne came out as gay, you have to rethink the honor, the statehood honor of them. You know, it's like it is okay to be, number one, stupid as fuck, racist as fuck, and homophobic as fuck. That's what all of the, everything besides the extension of the getting booze to go. That's the only thing that they did right this week. Because everything else the GOP did in my state this week was just really stupid as hell. And you can, and then you're going to pass some stuff where it's okay not to teach anti-racism because they're going to withdraw the funding. So you want people to continue to be racist, continue to be stupid, also continue to be drunk, evidently, and continue to be homophobic, and y'all going to think it's okay. So what do I have to do about that? I got to do it myself. The reason why y'all get to continue to do that is because people keep voting your ass in and other people don't get the financial support that they actually do need to do to be able to run a clean campaign and to take your seat away from you because the tolerance level is ridiculous. So I'm going to vote with my dollars and vote with my support. Who's with me, bitches? Now that I have fashioned my entire podcast about just social commentary and just talking about things in the news, this is a season of why I need to kind of restrict how many articles I absolutely respond to. But as long as there is a newspaper in the news, it just seems like state lawmakers and people in general are thinking it's okay just to say dumb stuff. And Tennessee has been in the news for all of the wrong things. So here we go. First up, I need to find out which district this fool represents. Justin Lafferty. Oh, Knoxville. Great. This fool on the 4th yesterday commented about the 3/5 compromise. This is the New York Times. For all of y'all that didn't pay attention in historical history class, 3/5 compromise was created for the purposes of representation and only counted 3/5 of the state's enslaved people would be counted towards the total population. And it was, and it is regarded as one of the most racist deals ever a part of this country's founding. You mean to tell me that it's, you're only going to, because you're not human,
So we'll give you 3/5, but yeah, we not going to count, because that would mean you would actually have to consider all of humans, all humans, black or white, to be humans. And that goes against your justification of the terror of racism. This fool basically states this. This fool defended the compromise by saying that it was a bitter pill that was necessary to curtail the power of slaveholding states and that helped clear the way to ending slaveries. How is that? Can he not read the room? And could he not reveal that how insulting and demeaning this was? By limiting the number of population in the count. And he basically doubled down on it. He says basically this was a way to limit the power of slaveholding states and eventually would lead to a peaceful abolition of it. And that's not the purpose of that at all. He basically completely missed the point. It basically, again, pointed to the worst compromise by basically saying, we'll let you count 3/5 of them, but that further demeans the whole basis of that. Why can't you just say they're not counted and you won't count them at all? So we're not trying to give some type of balance to an unjust system. Who does that and why would you do that? That's the dumbest crap I've ever seen in all of my life. And again, I can't. And then the applause. Can you imagine the other white representatives applauded this fool? It's horrible. It is a matter of fact that white Republicans are okay with saying dumbass shit and supporting people that say dumbass and wrong shit. It is ubiquitous on a state level, and they applaud it on the state level, and it continues to be applauded on the national level. So you basically are telling us that you are okay with the support of a racist, an obvious racist compromise. That means you're going to be okay with, again, the status quo, and you're okay with your party being seen as backwards and racist. Great. Okay, so with that said, then you got another Republican lawmaker of the same ilk in my state. In a symbolic gesture to honor T.J. Osborne from the Brothers Osborne, who came out, he's been out of the closet for a minute with his family and close friends, but he came out publicly at the beginning of the year. And instead of you will honor Dolly Parton, but you definitely won't honor this guy. And it's because you said he basically said he's openly gay and he's not allowed to be honored because he's openly gay. And you use your chair as the House Republican Caucus to block the resolution. Again, you are okay with coming off as homophobic and racist. Why would you want anybody support this public political party? What is the purpose of you when you are okay with saying and believing in policies and doing this stonewalling of progress? Are y'all so afraid of the New South that y'all are willing to continue to double down on racist and homophobic actions by these lawmakers? Why does anybody support them? Because you are so willing to support these people in power that don't use their power to the betterment of anybody except themselves. I think just like the MLB did in the MLB did with pulling out of Atlanta. What if country music left Nashville? Because they really realized that these fools come to my shows and I send my support to them, but they are not willing, and they're willing to continue to double down on stupid, to basically be okay with obvious racist and homophobic things. It just blows my mind that as far as you think you are in a very modern and progressive age, and there are some benefits of living in this state, but is it really all worth it when you got these fools in office still saying it's okay to censure someone that saying that you can't roll up on us and try to kill us, and you can't keep spouting those lies that incited it? That's number one. It's okay for us to block legislation to honor somebody that's openly gay. That's number two. And then number three, it's a 3/5 compromise, the most racist legislation on the planet, written by the KKK and for the KKK. You saying it was a good idea, bitch, please. And you're wondering why people are considering being an expat if I could be, do what I do now and work outside of this country, or why I would move somewhere else. But any other state besides state's income taxes, they just as bad as y'all are. And people are willing for the status quo. But I got news for you. Population, or the mixture of the population in these big cities, is actually changing. And there are a lot of TikTokers and other liberally blue people that are not with the BS. And they are so annoyed that y'all think that we're not listening and we're not taking notes, and we don't know when your dumbasses are up for a re-election. And shame on you people that support the dude that spoke in favorably about the 3/5 compromise. And shame on the people that allowed the chairman, who's supposed to be the leader of his party, do some dumb shit by blocking an openly gay because of the optics of it. The optics of that looks bad. And I honestly think there's a reckoning coming for these Republican conservative fools. Your time is up. We're tired. We're just so tired of the BS. Either you're going to have to rock with them, or you're going to be voted out, or you're going to have to go back to your red constituency, live in your fantasy life, while the rest of us live towards a more balanced and fair future. I'm just saying, y'all need to stop doubling down on stupid, because this doesn't make it. None of your actions and proclamations of the last couple of days make absolutely any sense to me. All you're doing is pulling negative attention to you, and people are watching and they're waiting to see when your time is up and who they can actually do to replace you, because this is obvious. This is so obviously stupid. It's just ridiculous. And I'm so tired that I spent so much time fussing about the obviously stupid. But there you go. Y'all just give me fodder to fuss. And I like to fuss, so.
I think this song is apropos for introducing this next section of the Facebook Advisory Board reviewing Trump's ban from the platform, as well as the bullying of Liz Cheney. Chainey. I play this song, Party Up by DMX, almost every single day of me going into work when I was an employed physician. In South Carolina, I did it in Charlotte. Anywhere that I worked for a number or an extended period of time. And when I knew they were going to drive me crazy because of the politics of the place and the crazy personality, this is a song that I made. It expressed my angst and anger and feeling trapped, and it just made me go crazy. So waiting for this advisory board to do the right thing, kind of, sort of, and continue to watch the continued onslaught of Liz Cheney because she refused, because her consciousness won't allow her to support lies. So they're doing something wrong. McConnell and McCarthy, who does that? You want to engage the base to keep the dollars, but history's going to judge you negatively. Why would y'all do that? I don't get it. I don't get it. So I gotta play this music, come up with another way to get the financial support that decent people and real politicians can get. That's all I'm gonna be able to do. Because fuck it, I gotta do it. I gotta figure out a legal way to get the support that they need. Today, a private company is reconsidering Chump's return to social media. And all I can say to that is nerds to that. This advisory board, you know, in all honesty, I don't think there is a place for continuation of lies. You know what I mean? Deflammatory, inflammatory language, when it invokes a riot for people that want to be invoked or provoked, you have to be cognizant of that. Meaning, I'm not going to expose an alcoholic, a drug addict, a hate monger to what incites them. That doesn't make any sense. And if you are a privately held company, you have rules of engagement, and you have to follow the rules. If you can't follow the rules, you don't have a right to use that platform. That goes for me. That goes to former occupant of the White House. It goes to a dictator. It goes to all of these extreme Islamic groups that have been banned from these platforms. That is what it means. And you can't even have a platform, or you can have a platform for that because it was Parler until they got kicked out of the App Store, another privately owned company. So if you are an unrepentant sociopath and you are known, your persona is known for not following the rules, that is where it comes down to. Rule following. First Amendment aside. And you people keep quoting that like we don't know how to read. The First Amendment was for government's inability to silence people that are anti-government or that criticize the government. Case in point. If Russia had a constitution and a First Amendment, what they're doing to Navalny, that's a violation of First Amendment. But because you can't keep saying dumb shit on social media,
That's not a violation of the First Amendment. That's a violation of terms of agreement of a private company. And you shouldn't say that crap anyways. There's no violation. Just because you can say it don't mean you should. Because we got a whole group of people that all they get off on is drama and stupidity. And they get somebody that is willing to say all of those things as long as they can get, they'll continue to support him by their vote or their dollars. And we got 25 million extra reasons why you don't deserve to be. He didn't deserve to have the presidency from jump. And he did not deserve to get reelected because he didn't win the Electoral College votes. Nobody cheated, even though he wanted them to. We need that nonsense to stop. We need that rhetoric to stop. We need the lies to stop. And we don't want the social media platforms to continue to perpetuate those lies because it's delusional. If you say something dumb online, should you have time to redeem it? Because some people say crazy stuff as teenagers and then it comes back to bite them in the butt when they become like some editor of Vanity Fair or the Vogue Vogue editor that got fired because of something she did when she was like 8, said when she on social media as a mean girl when she was 18. Girl's like 32 years old now. She's completely different and she's done the work. And we got the proof of how getting a degree and then channeling her platform in a more a completely positive direction is completely different than the mean girl that she was in, as 18. And we got the proof of that. But this fool, he has only said dumb, inflammatory crap throughout his entire online life. He has, if anything, his rhetoric and his stupidity has gotten worse because it's gotten likes and click. He's gotten the credibility, his credibility in his sociopathic mind is how many people he can still get to talk about them, how many people he can get to perpetuate lies and do anything for him for free. And he don't even have to ask them, and they support him, even rightfully so, that he's a sociopath. His own niece told us he's a sociopath, but we all know he has the means of a sociopath. He has not, he could, I don't know, too old to be redeemable. You really can't teach an old dog new tricks because he's going to continue to say the stuff that's going to get him the money without doing anything and get the vote. He does. He's clickbait. That's all he really is clickbait. And if you want to clean up and protect the rest of us from this venom, that is what you have to look at. This platform is held by a privately owned company with a public face. We need to be spared from lies and misinformation because that's how he won. And when y'all cleaned it up, that's how he lost. And it hates him because he cannot manipulate the platform to do his bidding. Why would you want somebody like that on using your platform? Why would you want somebody to use your platform for negativity? I don't get that. The dark web, if he could understand it, the dark web has a place for him. Let him go there and let the FBI and let him be on a terrorist watch list because that's what I think. He and the Tucker Carlson's of the world and those people, that is another form of domestic terrorism. When you get somebody that is will say anything to polarize anything just for their support because he cares nothing about anybody outside of himself, that is a dangerous person to have on a platform that can reach the entire world with that venom. I don't think you want this person to represent. I don't want this person to represent who I am because everything he says, everything his party stands for, I don't want that kind of representation. I can do bad enough by myself. I can make my own self look bad. I don't have some illiterate fool to make me look bad and make people more afraid of me because they're willing to accept those lies that spew from his mouth or his fingertips in this path. He doesn't know how to act. He has not done the work. And his rhetoric is dangerous and is polarizing. We need strength. We need to come together, and we don't need that type of language on your platform. It is, unless you're going to rewrite your rules of engagement, he has no place. He was rightfully banned. He was rightfully taken down from all of those sources, and he needs to continue. And if anything, this company needs to do more with keeping that garbage off of the net. Either do it with AI, either do it with their algorithms. Y'all need to do better, because a lot of this misinformation and false news, etc., is still slipping through deep in DMs and feeds. And y'all need to do what you can to root that crap out. And I'm done. If y'all let him back on, I don't think there's a place for anyone like me on your platforms. I've had Facebook for over a decade, as well as Twitter for just a little bit longer. I'll just go to posting my food pictures on Twitter, continue to curate my YouTube channel, but and my blog and my podcast, because I got a lot of other ways that I can interact, where I can receive what I want and curate what I want to put out there. I don't think my old cranky butt has a place on any platform that will support racist intent, polarization, and just outright lies. Why would I want to give my time, my energy, my money to any platform that does that? I think I've done a pretty good job of finding history ungarnished, unwhitewashed, because of my own effort. And if I'm freed up with the shack from the shackles of Twitter posts and Facebook posts, and I'm even rethinking my LinkedIn association, because it really doesn't make a whole bunch of sense for me to be on any of those platforms if the platforms will be bullied by a sociopath. You can't whitewash what happened over the last 4 years. You can't whitewash or erase things that have been said and tweeted out for the world to see. People could take screenshots. That stuff lives in perpetuity in people's minds. Some people just want to be other. They want to feel bigger than. They want to someone to say it's okay for them to act a fool. And that has to stop today. We need it's disheartening to find that a means for people to socialize, probably someone socially awkward like the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world, is being utilized to also manipulate and to con people and to catfish, etc. But at the same time, a hermit like myself turns in on itself when those means are just your privacy is being violated, or there are no protections for people that are doing positive things, that don't want to do things just for influence and for clicks. They actually want to share truthful or fun information about themselves. These extreme liars is what I call them, are basically denigrating the whole purpose of social media. I don't think these platforms, there are other means for you to basically say what you want to say. You know, you don't have to basically put it out on Facebook, and the whole intent is something far different than what these people are utilizing it for. Social media should not be your number one source of news and scientific discovery and information. It really shouldn't. You should basically use other platforms, more truthful, to get all that information and to set, but and still be curious. But don't just use Facebook post as your sole source of information and education. That's not, I don't, that was never the intent. I am, but, and I'm so careful to make that distinction, and I'm so careful in what I repost and what I actually see. I'm actually going to either go try to find the source of information, go to the original, and then I'm going to have to double check. Because I'm fully aware of false news and false stories. And, but that's just me. I'm not a sheep. I'm not going to follow it just because somebody reposted a repost. I don't do that. I'm also would love to know how they come up with the algorithms and how some of this stuff becomes clickbait, and how the algorithms and that are utilized, security algorithms used on the site, or you can be utilized to filter some of this garbage out. I just would like everybody to get along, in the words of Rodney King. But what I don't believe is it is necessary for us to protect inflammatory language. I don't think, and just out and out lies. I think, and that's where a lot of these conservative political groups, they are trying to force y'all to step over the line. And it's not helpful. It's not helpful to anybody. And it's also not helpful to the I am always sad when people are okay with continuation of divisiveness. And it seems like they continue to go about dissension and the wrong way. I'm not just talking about, in part, I'm not talking about that. What I am talking about is this controversy with Liz Cheney correcting and basically saying, stop the lies. And then she gets chastised by a leader of the group. So I don't know if Kevin McCarthy doesn't have the balls, or he just would like people to think that if we don't give any credence to it, if we don't respond to it, he'll just go away. Or does he really think that we got to suck up to the Trump supporters and to keep our party together while allowing him to continue to perpetuate lies and polarization? I don't know what the balancing act is, because all I know is Liz Cheney she's not really an ally because she's still a Republican, but she is obvious about the truth and wanting y'all to focus on policy, because that's what y'all should really be focusing on. Because what is going on now, you got all these diversionary tactics, but it's taken away from the fact that y'all party has a lot of work to do. Y'all got to regain these seats, but people are still dying. People are still can't make their rent, and they are a part of your party too. So how can you get their support without catering to these fools that just don't want to do anything except for beat the drum and to be dumb? Where is that balance? There has to be some way for y'all to basically say that You know what? This fool did lie. And if we can't support, we cannot be a party of togetherness if you won't basically focus on what the truth is. And these are what we're going to focus on. That's how you meet a bully right where he is. You fire back, tell him to shut the hell up. You do it together. And if you don't want to roll, you're going to get slapped down too. Because the little bullies and their little sycophants, they, if you basically turn that crap back on them and you do it in as far as numbers, that's how they shut the hell up. But you won't get the Rafael Cruzes, Ted Cruzes, dumbass to read, and that fool from Ohio, and a whole bunch of people of dumb doing dumb shit is coming from Ohio, not just from Appalachian West Virginia. These fools are in the deep Midwest, and they keep saying this stuff, and they will take his supporters and utilize what they say, even though what they say is completely contrary to what the party and the direction of the party. Therefore, don't use those personalities have absolutely underlying personality traits, and you may not want them dumbasses it have their support. Or they're going to support you because you're going to force them to back down. So with that said, I need the punk ass Republicans to hush your mouth, recognize what she's saying is true, continue to support her because what she is saying is true, and get on with the policies. She doesn't need to be censured, and she doesn't need her role to be revoked, because she is the one that can actually in the position to do the job because she could think on her feet. This is like some type of abusive relationship where all these men are like, don't tell me anything. You need to be know your place, blah, blah, blah. That's exactly what it feels like. It's so misogynistic. I would feel sorry for her if she went Republican, but I can't. I do feel sorry for her as a person, because as a woman, we get it all the time. Like our eyes, like the rest of the whole world did not see what was going on January 6th. Like the whole world didn't see those tweets or heard little whispers about that dumb inflammatory speech, and them fools rushed up and tried to kill all of y'all. Please, you get what you can get. And is it her continued rhetoric is going to lead you to lose those seats and your support and to be able to take over the House? Nope. What your lack of reaction, your lack of support, and if it's used correctly, is going to cause you to lose those seats and to lose your influence in your party. Your lack of that is what, because what you should be saying is, we cannot continue to have a lot of this damning, polarizing language continue to distract us from what we actually have to do. And if we can get back to sanity and a factual platform, this is how we're going to move forward. But we can't have all of these divisive personalities tearing us apart. And that is what, and don't get it twisted, there's not a whole, I'm sure, true power brokers are not sitting back and they're not watching this. Because what they're leashing on to the Republicans' inability to get anything done in policies, that is what is going on the grassroots level. That is what they're using in the PACs to basically gain those seats. While y'all are fussing among yourself and doing all this diversion crap, that is where they're going to be able to sneak in and regain all of those new seats that have been gained by the new census data, and vote out those people that have been paralyzed by your party's inability to basically do anything truly for the people. And you keep wanting to foster some false narrative, and it's going to bite you in the ass. Y'all going to need to basically have to figure out a way to quell these personalities and start really being about the policy and not about polarity. It's not about personalities. It's about the policy and what we can get done to get America, to truly make America great again. That is what both parties should actually be doing. And all of this nonsense and all of y'all trying to kick back on your own peoples is going to have a detrimental. Her person is not. And why would she stay quiet? Why would she stay quiet? Could you ask yourself that? This is not a personality issue. She's basically calling him out on an absolute lie. What is the problem with that? It is not like Ted Cruz and all of those other fools recalling the vote and all of that. It has nothing to do with that. She basically wants him to stop, to shut the hell up about something that never happened. That's all she wants him to do. What in is the problem with that? Because you don't want to get your invitation to Mar-a-Lago revoked, and that's how they could spin it too. You don't want to get your invitation for Mar-a-Lago revoked, and you don't want to hear about the crazies, et cetera, et cetera, that truly support him. You want to keep them in the fold. But why do they need to be in the fold if they're not willing to foster truth? They don't care at all, because most of them, the mouth breathers, can't read. They don't give a fuck about policy. They don't like government. So why would you want them in your fold? And rabble rousers, why? Why? If you about doing your job and using your power in a positive way, what would her saying the truth, why is that? What is the problem with that? Also, what is the problem with not whitewashing the lies and, again, the inflammatory language and what he actually did? Because the sociopath that he did, he basically said, I just said 10, 15 words, and I had all these people charging and making a mockery of democracy. That's what I can't understand. What is the problem with keeping somebody like that off of social media? What is about that, about someone like that saying basically what he did was wrong? That's why he needed to be impeached, and that's why I voted the way I did, and that we should not, he needs to stop lying and he needs to go sit down somewhere. What is the problem? Is it because she's a woman? Because that's whacked. Or is it because your own self-interest? It goes outside of what your view is, and you would never say it, and you don't think anybody else should say it, but that makes you look like a dumbass. I don't get it. And that's why I can never be a politician, because one, I don't like people that much. But number two, I don't think, why do you leave your intellect at Ronald Reagan when you basically come to D.C.? What happens to these politicians when they get there at that level and they seem like they lose their freaking minds, or they seemed all moral compass and integrity and ethics is left in their hometown? They stop representing the people that they actually have been voted into to represent. I don't know. I don't think D.C. completely corrupts absolutely unless you want to be corrupted absolutely. They're going to have to figure it out. Personalities over politics over personality. But this party and all the parties are going to have to basically figure out, how can you still represent the people and represent truth and have the balls to basically say, this dumb, stupid language is not worth it? And is it worth chipping away at democracy when you got these people, their entire intent is to destroy it? And should you have a platform if your intent is to destroy everything around you? Probably not. I just wouldn't want that to be the focus of my company. And that's why And that's why I'm very interested in improving my craft and doing other things with and how I interact with social media, because I'm going to have to truly rethink it, because there is a very good chance that this outside advisory board may actually allow him back on, and Congressman Cheney may actually lose her position, and she seems like one of the few sane Republicans that we as the public have been introduced to, because the rest of them don't seem to be about truth or integrity or have any moral compass. And that saddens me. And also having to rethink what my place is in our society. Just got a report from Tennessee, and I'll be doing a separate talk about this, I guess. Just stupid stuff happening within my own state. But do I still want to continue to be in a place or a state that is just so dumb? And can I support a government or 75 million people, half of this voting population, really doesn't think someone like me deserves to be here? So why the hell should I be here? You know, an expat in the Ukraine or on the Mediterranean until y'all figure it out. Yeah, it's looking bright again, because I'm dissatisfied with a lot of the direction, and I know it's not going to happen overnight, but I just need an opportunity to get away and to reset. And being in this beach resort on the Mediterranean seems pretty damn good right now. So that's where I am. But my big ups to the Facebook advisory board and anybody else that supports Liz Cheney. Y'all don't have a right to remove her from a position. She's one of the last sane and thinking Republicans in the House right now. But if y'all don't figure out, but the Republicans don't figure out how to deal with her and the truth, that is the main reason why y'all are going, you should lose your seats. It's politics, not personality, bitches. There you go. And for the Facebook advisory board, don't be bullied. Sociopaths, this clinical, sociopaths don't follow rules. The most difficult psychiatric condition to treat. It is obvious if you look at his past and up until now, he's worse now. He has not done the work. He won't do the work because he wants to be clickbait. That kind of nonsense is clickbait. Clear violation of your rules of engagement, and he needs to pay the price. And don't give a fuck who he is. Because if you let him back on, it's going to be testament to the parlor people of the world that it's okay to do what he did and got completely scot-free away with it. At least you could yoke him and take away his voice piece. We don't need it. And not for free anyways. You know what I mean? He could basically, does he have the credibility to start his own company? He would have to pay for it, and he ain't paying for it. He wants to use your platform for free to spread that nonsense, because he doesn't probably know how to do the work, or he won't. And people know he won't pay them to do the work it would require to get and off the ground and build the credibility, grassroots, as it were, to have a whole station dedicated to tomfoolery. He can't take over Fox because he can't afford it. And he won't pay anybody to do the work it would create to create the Trump network. He won't do it. He owed too many people, and they need to already go ahead and arrest his ass for tax evasion anyways. I'm just saying. So don't be misled. He wants a platform that he can do all of this nonsense and spread all of these lies for free. And in that case, 1 + 1 does not equal 0. 1 + 1 means we gonna keep your ass off of our platform because we don't want it, because it just takes too much. Continue to support the police and increase in your algorithms, security algorithms. But you don't need that fool on your platform. There's nothing about First Amendment in that. That's about a private company making sure its platform is consistent with its rules engagement. If you want to do, you're going to have to follow the rules. I'm just saying. That is John Williams' Wild Signals from Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I tried to watch that not too long ago, and I don't think I got through it as much. I think I fell asleep because I rented it. And then you got a certain amount of time to go back and rewatch it. I may actually have to buy it because this is towards the last part of the movie where they're trying to use music to communicate with and lights to communicate with the aliens, and then the aliens blow up the little helicopter, the Black Hawk. So I thought it was hilarious that I'm starting off my listeners reading from my sci-fi novel listeners with this particular bit of music, because I am a really sci-fi hog. The only book that I've actually written recently, and I published it, self-published it a couple of years ago, was autobiographical fictional memoir, and was loosely based on my life. I've since rewritten it, and I'm thinking about, if I ever finish Listeners, that I will re-release the edited version of that particular book, because I changed it around a little bit and I expanded some of the plot line. But in this sci-fi novel, I wanted to do a better job of not portraying aliens as so foreign and misshapen and ugly, and only one of the population that I talk about in the book wants something for us. They want world domination. They want us to do the dirty job of eradicating humanity so they can take over the earth. But they do it in a slick way by possession. There's another group that are the police of the universe, and they're basically, their whole goal is humanity has a right to exist, and it has a right to exist free. And also there's a council now that I've thought about that ensures a balance of all beings of the universe. I mean, most people would, how arrogant of us to think that we are the only sentient or thinking forms in this such a vast universe. We haven't even gotten outside of exploring the Milky Way. You know, the images that Hubble and a lot of other intergalactic are not, the telescopes, space telescopes are not even seeing all that is to offer. Because if we think that other universe and other galaxies are just like our vast Milky Way, why wouldn't there be other life forms very similar to our setup? And why wouldn't there be other life forms similar to our setup, even within our own galaxy? So with that said, I did not want to continue to portray the xenophobic view that most sci-fi takes on. I really didn't want to go to a true post-apocalyptic look after COVID, because although 2020 was an absolute shit show, but it could have been a lot worse. And I think I'm hopeful to do it justice by just showing how a lot worse it could have been. I don't want to blame it all on the Chinese, because I think there were other more malevolent and dark forces at work behind this mismanagement of this pandemic, and the financial markets, and just the lack of leadership, and how catastrophe could have been averted if leaders had been real leaders. So I'm actually going through the book now, and I'm writing chapters, but I'm also rewriting chapters, and just the overall flow of the book. This is the chapter. It's called America, the Final Chapter. The United States was in free fall. Survivors of a former system that was broken were recalled to repair it. Tennessee was spared the totality of the collapse due to a self-sufficiency of sorts. Its quasi-independence from the energy grid was part shady but kind of brilliant. They would use subsidies, the grid that is, to upgrade and convert to hydro energy. The usage of the Army Corps of Engineers and the federal government grants to create a system that could be managed even without human contact was based on advanced AI technology. The same with the communications with all the towers, with major telecommunications being housed here, with the system architects also residing here. Because Tennessee kept the power on, the connection, the observatories in the NASA system all remain online. The systems would go green one at a time, first in Georgia, Alabama, Louisiana, Florida, Texas, and California. Power and communications being rerouted through the South and Middle America being largely cut off. The Eastern power grid collapses with no plans or way to be recovered, plunging the Eastern seaboard into a deep freeze down towards D.C. The capital, with the CDC and NIH, being evacuated to Tennessee to continue research on virus eradication and vaccine development. The survivors of the Pentagon and remnant of the Supreme Court and Congress being moved to the bunker underneath the Greenbrier in West Virginia under full military escort. The former occupant of the White House reduced to complete babbling idiocy, not much different when he was the president, with his children would be detained in the maximum federal prison at Riverbend outside of Nashville. More to keep an eye on them, not to stir of diversions and splinter groups for the time. The surviving presidents would join the remnant government in West Virginia, with the exception of President Carter, who was too frail to make the journey, but also of the old guard and too moral to make some of the hard decisions necessary to rebuild the nation. Less than 60 members of Congress would survive and be healthy enough to be evacuated to West Virginia bunker, with the remainder, including the House Speaker, would convalesce in a makeshift place in Richmond. The military would establish presence. Actually, I'm going to change that to the former Senate Minority Leader. Would convalesce in a makeshift place in Richmond. The military would establish presence in the major cities, assisting evacuation south, with most open spaces becoming large RV park cities, with empty campers and trailers becoming temporary homes. They would be given great latitude to maintain peace and order, with weekly sessions of updates to the Presidential Council. Movement was restricted to essential personnel, with military and law enforcement only sanitation, and the grim morgue squads tasked with massive corpse retrieval and cremation. Not only was movement on the interstate restricted, the information highway too became restricted. Social media taken offline, with new agencies, streaming services, and non-essential entertainment being removed. The remnants of the financial sector being decimated, with ways and means being redirected to services, redirected to the electrical grid, clean water, and waste disposal. The rationing system became a necessity while the government reasserted itself. It also would help. Necessity. I hope. There it is. After the local mock tribunal was disbanded and the participants arrested, the incursions onto the Lundgren's property became less frequent but noticeable, more violent, as people became tempted to defy the new austere system out of anger and then of desperation, trying to live within the federal rationing system without any variety in supplies. The previously known agrarian knowledge lost as the country modernized, if ever known. The former Monsanto scientists, in cooperation with heirloom seed savers, with the assistance from an unlikely source, the medicinal marijuana growers, began to become the country's main producers of fresh fruit and vegetables. They would be allowed space to start teaching new techniques and basic gardening to the masses on the community web networks. The industrial arts would take a new meaning with the realization that many of the talented few had succumbed to the virus. With trepidation, the universities, private and public, would come back online, with primary and secondary education coming back to life. They were able to slowly convince the elected officials of the need to get them back online with the pursuit of other scientific endeavors were just as important as the basic need to combat COVID-19. The fear of the vulnerability of the country to attack was true, but the other powers did not fare any better, with population, armies being decimated, each government, each culture just trying to survive, stealing from and conquering a vulnerable United States was far from important, at least for now. I'm thinking about rewriting this because of my introduction of the population of the replacements. And initially, I had the local yokels being the ones that were making incursions on, just, you know, had the kangaroo court and the local yokels, but with the replacement government, they would actually finally jail the governor, and there was just, and a lot of people of the former Senate and state Senate and House were either, they, when they weren't jailed, they basically died of COVID, but they were, these replacements were installed to get peace and to consolidate power. And it was the local people that would resist, and the militias that would absolutely resist, because it didn't make a whole bunch of sense. A lot of what they were doing was truly an abuse of power, and it would take the local people to protect the remnant of the former government that weren't replaced, that had made it to West Virginia, and to basically eradicate the replacements once the word got out about who the replacements were and what there was intent. Because the intent of the replacements is to eradicate humanity. And they would use some of the frailty of the humans to basically assist them in their own eradication. And a lot of the strife, etc., was utilized as a diversionary tactic, because the primary goal of the replacements is to get rid of humanity. Humanity can never learn of its former place in the interstellar consciousness. They deserve to With all of its flaws, we deserve to exist. No one is, or no race, or no creed, or no sex, nothing, no one is above anyone else. Because we are human, we deserve to be safe, we deserve to be disease-free, and we deserve to create and to be allowed to do that without threat of death and without threat of being jailed or shot in the back or shot in the head from the back. And that is what the whole goal. The replacements don't want us to realize and to ascend to a greater consciousness. That is their whole goal, eradication before we get there. And that is what the one is basically going to allow us to reach our fullest potential. We got to survive COVID. We got to survive the decimation of democracy. We got to survive all of these things before we can truly realize our full potential. And I hope I do a better job, because that was only a chapter that is probably less than 1,000 words, but I got to suss it out, and I'm going to basically be rearranging how I basically put it all together to hopefully make a coherent story that a whole bunch of people, at least 500 people, will want to read. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to sell a couple of books.
A scrub is a guy that thinks he's fine, is also known as a buster. Always talking about what he wants and just sits on his book ass. So,
no,
I don't want your number,
no.
I don't wanna give you mine, and
no.
I don't wanna meet you nowhere, no.
And that is No Scrubs by TLC from there.
I don't want no scrub.
Award-winning album fan him. Even Scrubs should exist. Who knew? And also, I wanted to make sure you guys were aware that the 2021 World Championship Barbecue Cooking Contest is coming up in Memphis in a couple of weeks. And the Nightfall series, it is live. They said there's limited tickets. I would have gone, but I can't make it this year. I'm hopeful to be healthy enough to make it next year. And also, they're going to be starting the live Nightfall series right here in town. The first show, although it's starting a month late, will begin June 11th with Ben Van Winkle and the Figment with Emily Kate Boyd Band. Also, Lee Roy Parnell and Warren Treaty are going to be playing at one of these dates too. They got dates basically every Friday starting June 11th. And with Lee Parnell hitting stage on July 16th. And War and Treaty with Kimmy J. Soul will be July 2nd. I'm just excited about live music coming back to the city. And enjoying it. I got my director's chair. And I'm just excited about the change.
Now I'm out here looking like revenge.
Am I sorry for anything I said in this past episode? Because I really was fussing a lot. I'm not. And this is Sorry Not Sorry by Demi Lovato. It expresses my sentiments on everything that I've said about the GOP and my low tolerance and impatience with the stupid crap that they keep doing. I'm so not sorry for anything that I'm saying at all during this episode.
But I will end it here because I'm learning that the more commentary that I make, because there's always going to be something that's going to catch my eye in the local paper or even in the Memphis Tribune or the LA Times, the Washington Post, some of the newspapers, that the New York Times that I put the papers that I actually read on a daily basis or on a weekly basis. And I...
We're gonna take the beginning of
like
the song.
Like my position as a social commentator, I'm just a regular person. I have the privilege of having a profession that allows me not only to make money, but also to save money and explore my interests. I'm looking forward to safely getting back on the road, taking pictures of waterfalls, and just fussing at people in general. And who knows, maybe you'll see me the fro on the road. I'm excited about the next chapter in my life. My goal is to be as healthy as I possibly can, because I got a whole bunch of fussing to do. All of the links to the upcoming events will be in my podcast notes. Thank you for everybody that has tolerated and listened to this episode. I hope I did a really good job of pulling all of my fussing together and ideas about the next section of my sci-fi novel. And I hope you enjoy all of the music that I play throughout this episode. And again, the link to the podcast playlist will also be included in the podcast notes on iTunes. It comes up under one podcast playlist if you want to search for it, but you can just click on the link and you can download and chair dance at your convenience, because it is 111 different songs, 7 hours and 43 minutes of some of the greatest music I could find. So with that said, I hope you guys have a great evening, and thank you for listening.